Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. The Lord, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 46. Monam rata shuti tapo dhyayana svadharma. Vyakya raho japa samadaya apavagya. Prayak param purushate dvajitendriyanam. Varta bhavat yita navrata navdambukhanam. Mona. Silence. Vrata. Vows. Shruta. Vedic knowledge. Tapa. Austerity. Dhyayana, study of scripture. Svadharma, executing. Varna Shadharma, executing Varnashram Dharma. Vyakya, explaining the Shastras. Raha, living in a solitary place. Japa, chanting or reciting mantras. Samadaya, remaining in trance. Apavargya, these are 10 types of activities for advancing on the path of liberation. Praya, generally. Param, the only means. Purusha, O my Lord. Te, all of them. Tu, but. Ajita Indriyanam, a person who cannot control the senses. Varta, means of living. Bhavanti, are. Uta, so it is said. Na, not. Va, or. Atra, in this connection. Tu, but. Dambikanam, a persons who are falsely proud. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path of liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varna and Ashram, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.15, Kechit Kevala Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agam duvanti kartsnyeya, kartsnyena, niharam iva bhaskara. Only a rare person who has adopted complete, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful action with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. The real purpose of human life is to obtain liberation from material entanglement. Such liberation may be achieved by many methods. Tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha. But all of them are more or less depend on tapasya, austerity, which begins with celibacy. Sukadeva Goswami says that those who are Vasudeva Parayana, who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, automatically achieve the results of mona, silence, rata, vows, and other such methods, simply by discharging devotional service. In other words, these methods are not so powerful. One takes the devotional service, all of them are very easily performed. Mona, for example, does not mean that one should just stop speaking. The tongue is meant for speaking. Although sometimes to make a big show, person remains silent. There are many who observe silence some day in a week. Vaishnavas, however, do not observe such silence. Silence means not speaking foolishly. Speakers at assemblies, conferences, and meetings generally speak foolishly like toads. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Vacho Vegam. One who wants to say something can show himself to be a big orator. But rather than go on speaking nonsense, better to remain silent. This method of silence, therefore, is recommended for persons very attached to speaking nonsense. One who is not a devotee must speak nonsensically because he does not have the power to speak about the glories of Krishna. Thus, whatever he has to say, he says is influenced by the illusory energy and is compared to the croaking of a frog. One who speaks about the glories of the Lord, however, has no need to be silent. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Kirtaniyak Siddha Hari. One should go on chanting the glories of the Lord 24 hours a day. There is no question of becoming mona or silent. The 10 processes for liberation or improvement on the path of liberation are not meant for the devotees. Kevala Bhakta. Kevalaya Bhaktya. If one simply engages in devotional service to the Lord, all 10 methods of liberation are automatically observed. Prahlad Maharaj's proposal is that such processes may be recommended for the Atendriya, those who cannot conquer their senses. Devotees, however, have already conquered their senses. Sarva Padi Vinirmuktam Tat Paradvena Nirmalam. Devotee is already freed from material contamination. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore says, Dushtamana Tumi Kesera Vaishna Pratishtara Tare Nirjanera Gare Tava Harinama Kevala Kaitava. There are many who like to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a silent, solitary place. But if one is not interested in preaching Krishna consciousness constantly to the non-devotees, the influence of the mode's material nature is very difficult to surpass. Therefore, unless one is extremely advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should not imitate Haridas Thakura. We have no other business than chanting the holy name always 24 hours a day. Prahlad Maharaj does not condemn such process. He accepts it. But without active service to the Lord, simply by such methods, one generally cannot attain liberation. One cannot attain liberation simply by false pride. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path of liberation, to liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varnashram Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. The aim of human form of life is to become liberated. It's one of the fourth purusharta. by executing dharma, that is, following the laws of material nature, living in harmony with Krishna's purpose, the purpose of the material world, then one can learn how to perform the activities of economic development for sense gratification in such a way as to be conducive to liberation, liberation from the bodily concept of life. If we realize that we're not this body, then our life is successful. At least to some extent. As soon as one is liberated from the bodily concept of life, then he can begin real devotional service, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. When one reaches the stage of Brahma Bhuta, I am eternal, when one gives up hankering and lamentation and sees everyone as a spiritual being, then he becomes Prasanatma, and in that joyful state, then one can begin actual pure devotional service. And only by the process of devotional service can we actually enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. Without at least trying to act on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then we're not actually performing real devotional service. And without performing real devotional service, then we're not really understanding more and more deeply Krishna or ourselves or anything else. Now, there are other processes for liberation also, as mentioned here, but they're not very practical for Kali Yuga, and therefore generally we don't practice them. Although, tapasya is there, but in a regulated form. Following a Ekadasi, or observing the appearance days of Janmashtami, or other important festival days, that these help us have some tapasya. Tapasya brahmacharyena. And by some tapasya, one can remain celibate, control the mind and the senses, etc. Otherwise, no tapasya, one eats unrestrictedly and etc., then it's impossible to control the mind and the senses. Matter of fact, it's by regulating the mind and the senses that they become purified if they're engaged in Krishna service. As Shurupa Goswami says, Vacha Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yovishaheta Dira, Sarvamapimam Prativim Shashi. Prativyam Shashishat. One who controls the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the urges of the tongue, belly, and genital, the urges of anger, then he can make disciples all over the world. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions, for instance, here about the frog. The frog is always croaking, calling the black snake to come and eat it. Similarly, those who are croaking in these conferences or in other ways, their time is considered like a black snake will come and devour them and put them into some other form of life. But if one is able to utilize his tongue in tasting Krishna prasadam and glorifying Krishna, that's considered to be devotional service. Therefore, Krishna says, Vedeshu jagneshu tapasu chaiva Daneshu yat punya pralam prativyam adyetita saram idam viditva yogi param stanam upaitya chadyam. That person who's engaged in pure devotional service, he automatically gets the results of studying the Vedas, Vedeshu jagneshu, performing sacrifice, Vedeshu jagneshu tapasu, performing austerity, chaiva, daneshu giving in charity, tat punya pralam pradivyam, performing pious activities. And even after performing devotional service, he gets all the results. And at the end, he goes back to the spiritual world. So all these different auspicious activities are all meant to help us come to the platform of liberation. Understand the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, the first instruction, deno smin nita dehe, Kaumaram Yovanam Jara Tatadahantara Praptir Diryas Tatra Namuyati. The first instruction that we're not this body. And Krishna says right after that, Matra Sparshu Sukandiya Shitoshna Sukadukada. One has to learn to tolerate these different dualities of material existence and not be disturbed. And one who's able to do that, Yam Hinabhyam Pyantyate Purusha Purusharshava Samaduka Sukandiram Samritat Vaya Kalpate. Then one is able to tolerate all these different things. Then he becomes eligible for liberation. So tolerance is there, and we can't know if we're tolerating if we don't go through some austerity. If the temperature is always exactly the way we like it, every meal is exactly what we want, everyone says exactly what we expect them to tell us, and there's absolutely no disturbance whatsoever in our life, then a little mosquito will come and completely bewilder us. We won't be able to tolerate an ant in our room. You dare, stupid ant, what are you doing? You're taking up too much space. Get out. So one has to learn tolerance, because at the time of death, for most of the time, it's not so pleasant, where one has to lose everything, including one's dear and near body. So one cannot tolerate small things, and how can one tolerate big, big problems like death? It's not possible. Unless we practice tolerating little things during this lifetime, we won't be able to pass our tests at the time of death, and we have to come back. Mrityu samsaravartmane. Again, to try to learn tolerance, try to learn how to fix the mind upon Krishna. Tani sarvani samyamya. Yukta sita matpara, vishehi yasyendriya ni tasya pragya pratishtita. One who's able to restrain the senses and fix his consciousness upon me is known as the sage of steady intelligence. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta sita matpara, vishehi yasyendriya ni tasya pragya pratishtita. So this is what we're practicing. Even in devotional service, we're trying to practice this. It may be the so-called easiest process. It's certainly the easiest to execute, but it may not be so easy to us. Some devotees would rather fast all day. They find it more day and night for days at an end, rather than chant Hare Krishna. Because chanting Hare Krishna, it doesn't feed the false ego necessarily. But if you're fasting day and night for a week or a month or something, your false ego may expand. Just see how powerful I am. And everyone says, you look a little thin. What happened? Oh, I've been fasting for a month. Really? Sadhu. But if you tell someone, I've been chanting 16 rounds every day for a month, oh, big deal. Anyone can do that. Even I do that. Not very worthy of attention. So people like these shows. You can cite Bhagavad Gita forwards by memory and backwards by memory too. Then you're really sadhu. You know all the Vedas, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda. You know all the Vedas backward and forward, all the corollaries, so you must be God. You know everything. But if someone is humbly chanting Hare Krishna, it's considered insignificant. Oh, big deal. You're not doing anything especially good for society. Although, Marj Vidura said that Maharaj Yudhisthira told Maharaj Vidura, Bhavan Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Svantakstena Gatabritaha. That saints like yourself are verily holy places of pilgrimage. Because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage because you carry the Lord within your heart. So that's how we're going to spread Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's good to learn a few techniques, how to distribute books. During the marathon, practice a little bit, distributing books, flattering people, and getting them to give a small donation, take a book. But actually, what will factually spread Krishna consciousness is if we become Krishna conscious. If we find out what Krishna consciousness actually is by becoming conscious of Krishna, then the result is we'll be able to know what we're offering to others. Here, take this book. Well, what is it about? I don't know. I read the book, but I can't understand it. But you read it. It's supposed to be good. No, if we actually know what's in the book, we actually experience what's in the book, then we'll be enthusiastic to give the book and the knowledge to others. We'll be enthusiastic to spread something good. Everything is always distributed nowadays by testimony. You want to buy a pair of scissors, you go on the internet, and people will give you testimony about how wonderful the scissors were, or how horrible the scissors were. Or they'll give you their life story, how they cut their finger with the scissor. And therefore, bad scissor, bad scissor, bad scissor. And people will spend 20 minutes, 50 minutes reading all the testimony about a scissor. And then they'll read, then they'll search the internet, who has the best review on a scissor. They'll spend the whole day hearing the glories of a scissor. And on that basis, they'll decide what to do. So unless we actually have a real taste, we say, oh, Hari, we go, here, take this book, it's really great. No. Now, who's going to take the book? You go, hey, take this book, it's really fantastic. That little enthusiasm goes a long way. And they say, well, what makes it so good? Usually they don't say that, but then you can explain a little bit. We can always, but in any case, we're trying to show the, we spread Krishna consciousness by actually becoming conscious of Krishna. Then we have something to tell people about. As much as we're conscious of Krishna, then we can tell others how to become conscious of Krishna also. Otherwise, it remains really on the theoretical platform, and we do better to practice it ourselves rather than just tell others about it. Chaitanya, as Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur, some people, they practice Krishna consciousness very strictly, but they have no desire to give it to others. They don't know how to share it. And others, they want to share it to everyone, but they don't practice it very carefully. But you're the best, because you're not only practicing carefully, but you're expert at distributing this knowledge to others. So we have to become both, expert at practicing and expert at distributing. And then we'll make progress on and on in Krishna consciousness. In any case, all these different, we have a little scripture by testimony. You want to buy a pair of scissors, you go on the internet, and people will give you testimony about how wonderful the scissors were, or how horrible the scissors were. Or they'll give you their life story, how they cut their finger with the scissor. And therefore, bad scissor, bad scissor, bad scissor. And people will spend 20 minutes, 50 minutes, reading all the testimony about a scissor. And then they'll read, then they'll search the internet, who has the best review on a scissor. They'll spend the whole day hearing the glories of a scissor. And on that basis, they'll decide what to do. So unless we actually have a real taste, we say, oh, Hari, we go, here, take this book, it's really great. No. Now, who's going to take the book? You go, hey, take this book, it's really fantastic. That little enthusiasm goes a long way. And they say, well, what makes it so good? Usually they don't say that, but then you can explain a little bit. You can always, but in any case, we're trying to show the, we spread Krishna consciousness by actually becoming conscious of Krishna. Then we have something to tell people about. As much as we're conscious of Krishna, then we can tell others how to become conscious of Krishna also. Otherwise, it remains really on the theoretical platform, and we do better to practice it ourselves rather than just tell others about it. Chaitanya, as Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur, some people, they practice Krishna consciousness very strictly, but they have no desire to give it to others. They don't know how to share it. And others, they want to share it to everyone, but they don't practice it very carefully. But you're the best, because you're not only practicing carefully, but you're expert at distributing this knowledge to others. So we have to become both, expert at practicing and expert at distributing. And then we'll make progress on in Krishna consciousness. In any case, all these different, we have a little scriptural study, we have a little bit of tapasya, we have a little bit of silence. When as soon as I ask, are there any questions, we usually have a minute of silence. So everything is there in our process. But ultimately, it's the chanting which is most important. So we always include the chanting, even if we don't always include silence. So I'll stop there. I'll ask a question. Who has the first question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. At the beginning in the shloka, there was written that 10 processes, 10 methods, and the last one was to be in the trance. How can be this a method?
How can you be in the trance?
No, it was described like to be in the trance is a method.
Yeah, it's a method.
Like a tool.
Yeah, you can get, people are in trance all the time. If you see people watching a football game, they're in trance. Or when someone wants to hit a golf ball, or they're meditating in trance on the golf ball, praying to it, praying to the gods that it may go up into the air. So by concentrating the mind, people, it's a method, trance. Samadhi. Well, of course, there's a method to get into the trance too. Anything else? Who has a second question? Not everyone at once. Got 1 minute. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.